The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Chof, the last daf in Perek Shnai Moichsin, and we are at the Mishnah on daf Chof Amar Alav. So the last two Mishnayos dealt with halachas regarding an Aveda and a Metzia, specifically if somebody found a shtar. So somebody finds a shtar, depending on what type of shtar he found, that would dictate what the halach and Shulchan Aruch is as it relates to returning the shtar or not returning the shtar. The first Mishnah was on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We had a Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And now we have a third Mishnah on Daf Chav. Zok the Mishnah. Motzah Igroi Shom. If somebody finds a document that says that Reuven loaned Shimon money and Shimon didn't pay up his chayv, as a result, Beis Din had to make a shuma. They had to assess the value of Shimon's property so that Reuven can properly go and be goyva his outstanding chayv. So the document is an appraisal. The igros mazon, or it's a document that says that Reuven married a woman. This woman already had a child. Reuven took upon himself the obligation, the hischayvus, to support his wife's daughter, in other words, his stepdaughter. The document says that. Shtari chalitza, or if somebody found a shtar, that's a transcription of a chalitza that took place in Beis Din, or miyun, and this is a ketana that was married, kiddushei miyun, kiddushei dirabanan, where her father wasn't the one that married her off, but rather it was her mother, her brother, or as the Rambam's lashon, the Yad Chazak is, the chol echad mishar krevel, one of her other krevim, she then was mema'in in her marriage. It's something that she has a right to do. It's oikir the kedusha l'mafreya. Reb Chaim famously said, mikanu l'habo l'mafreya. But either way, this shtar says, the miyun, the shtar ebiru, and the Gemara is going to explain what that is, the chol ma'isa bezdin, or any other shtar that was written by bezdin, harei zeh yachsa. So what these shtaras have in common is that these shtaras were not written by an ordinary sefer, an agreement between two people. But these are shtaras that are considered ma'isa bezdin. We already had this one excerpt from the Mishnah, Kol Ma'isa Bezdin, Areza Yachzer, came up a few times in the Shaklevatari of the previous Dafin. It comes from this Mishnah right here in Daf Chof Amud Aleph. And the halacha is that in contrast to an ordinary shtar, where the halacha is way more complicated, here, if somebody finds a shtar that's Ma'isa Bezdin, Areza Yachzer. Another halacha, Matzah B'chafis, if somebody finds a shtar in a chafisa, Oy B'tluskim, the world will explain what those two things are. Or if somebody finds Tachrich Shel Shtarois, a bundle of Shtarois, Oy Aguda Shel Shtarois, or a bundle of Shtarois, the world will explain what the difference between Tachrich and Aguda is. Areza Yachzer. So then the halacha is you could return it. And the reason, very simply, is because even though we saw that returning Shtarois is not so simple, but that's only if there's no sin. To the extent that somebody can step forward and give a simin and prove that it's his shtar, then the halacha is yachzer. So if the shtar was found in a chafis or a dluskama, that in itself would be the simin. Or if it was a tachrish shtol shtaris or agudish shtol shtaris, which the Gemara will clarify a little bit, there too you have a simin, the halacha is yachzer. Become agudish shtol shtaris. How many shtaris have to be together in order for it to be considered an aguda shloisha? If three shtaris are tied to each other, again, the Gemara will go into greater detail how exactly they were tied, that would be considered as a Shimon Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel said another halacha along the same vein. Another time where it's possible that the halacha is that if I find a shtar, not hareza lo yachsa, but hareza yachsa, if one person borrowed money from three people, I'm fine. If somebody borrowed money from three people, so you have one loiva, three malvin. The three shtaris are all together. He lost it. Somebody else finds it. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, yachsa loiva. This is easy. Here the halach is not a reza lo yachsa because I don't know if I'm supposed to give it to the malva the loiva. Because being that there are three shtaris and there's one loiva, three malvin, it certainly seems like it came from the loiva. It would be a far-fetched coincidence to think that somehow three malvin all lost the shtar together. So it makes more sense that if the three shtaris have in common the same loiva, that it probably fell from the loiva. Thus, it's a simin, you give it to the loiva. Shleisha, halavim min ha'echad. What if it's one malva and three loivin the other way around, yachsa l'malva, then you give it to the malva. Again, the Gemara will explain this in greater detail. Matzah shtar bin shtereisav, if somebody was a shomer pikadoin, and now we think found a shtar that he was supposed to watch. He doesn't know if he's watching it for the malva or if he's watching it for the loiva. He should be in another business. But the bottom line is he forgot. He's confused. So he didn't find it on the street. It's not matzah shtar, but it's similar in the sense that he is the shomer pekod and doesn't know what he's supposed to do with it. Says the Mishnah, Yehemunach HaShayoveh. So Shnai Moichsen ends along the same note that it began with the halacha of Yehemunach HaShayoveh Eliyo. We don't know what to do with it. So you have to reconcile this halacha with the sugyas in the beginning of Shnai Moichsen, which discuss different variables, what you deal with a moment on multibasafik. Sometimes it's Yehemunach HaShayoveh Eliyo, daf beis amid beis, daf gimel amid aleph. Here the halacha is Yehemunach. If there's a simpoin, there's a shayver, yasem mashes a Painos, that will be the last sugi in the parak. We'll see that a little bit later. So one of the shtaris that were mentioned as a Maisa Bezdin, where the halach is a Reza Yachzer, was Shtare Birurim. Says the Gemara, my Shtare Birurim, what is that? Ach, Tirgim Shtare Tanasa. Over here in Bavel, they said that the Shtar Birurim is a Shtar that's a transcription of the respective Baledinim's Tainin Bezdin. So two people are involved in a Toiv Nitin. They're involved in the Din Torah. So there were people, scribes, that would write down the Tainus. They would document it. That's Shtar Birurim. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Zeh Boir Le'echad, V'zeh Boir Le'echad. It's referring to the Mishnah, Perek Zeh Boir, in Masechta Sanhedrin, where the halach is that if two people are involved in a Chishon Mishpat case, Dinei Mominus B'Shloisha, you need three Dayanim in order to pass in the Shiloh. How do you pick the Dayanim? It's a Mishnah. Zeh Boir Le'echad. Each one of the Baledinim get to pick a Dayan. The two Baledinim pick the third, and that's how you have the three Dayanim. So you have a shtar that said that Reuven chose Dayan Ploini, and Shimon chose Dayan Ploini. Once you have a shtar like that, you can't be Chayzer, Rashi says. You can't back out. So that's the shtar Biru that was found. This shtar Hareza Yachzer, because this is a shtar that Bezdin oversees. As a result, there's no Chash. Piroyin doesn't make sense in this context. There's also no chash, shema kosov livos v'loy lava. The chashas, as we've seen in the previous sugyas, don't apply. It's for that reason I raise a yachzer. The Mishnah said, v'chol maisa bezdin, I raise a yachzer. So the Gemara tells a story that it just told a few days ago. Who gita deshtakach b'nidin de Rav Huna? There was a get isha that was found in Rav Huna's bezdin. Somebody found it lying on the floor. Dava kosov bey, b'shviri masa dal rachas nahara. It said that Reuven is divorcing his wife, Rachel. Where do they live? They live in a city called Shviri Masa, the Aurochis Nahara. A shliach stepped forward. A shliach said, this is my shtar. It's my get. I'm not Reuven, but I'm Reuven shliach. And I was appointed as a shliach leilocha to give this get to Aurochis. They said, give me a simon. I'll tell you, it's very simple. There's a Reuven, there's a Rochel. They live in Shviri Masa, the Aurochis Nahara. They went back, they found out that there's no other Reuven, there's no other Rochel that live in that city. He even had a harsha, perhaps, that proved that he was a shliach. So what's the issue? They should certainly give it to him. I'm Rafuna, Rafuna. They said, Chashin al Shnei Shviri. No, we're concerned that it could be, it's true, he's not lying. There's a harsha. He was a shliach that was appointed to divorce Rochel, who lived together with her husband Reuven in Shviri Masad al Rachas Nahara. But maybe there's another Reuven and another Rachel. They live in the same city. And they too were planning on getting divorced. And this shtar was lost in this Bezdin. So now that the Shliach picks up the shtar, maybe he's picking up the shtar that wasn't written by his Mishalech. It was written by the other Reuven. And the get has to be written Lishma, the Kasav La Lishma. So we don't know for sure that this get was written for this Gerishin. For that reason, he's not allowed to return. I'm the Rav Chizda, the Rabbah. So Rav Chizda, who was present at the time in Rav Huna's Bezdin, told Rabbah, Pukayim, go spend the rest of the day being ma'ayin in the sugyo, de la'arti boiler Rav Huna minach, because I'm telling you tonight, Rav Huna is going to see you, he's going to ask you how you would paskin the shayla. No, fact, Dokta Ashkach, he went, he paskin the shayla. It's not called Ma'isa Bezdin, Hareza Yachzer, again, Isha's a Ma'isa Bezdin, and Ma'isa Bezdin, Hareza Yachzer, say, he paskin that you're allowed to give it back to the Mishalech. So the Gemara earlier discussed this in great detail, but here we have a very abbreviated version of this story. Amalei Rav Amram l'Rabbo, so Rav Amram told Rabbi, Hechi Pashamari Surim Mamoina, were you able to be pushit a halacha regarding get isha from our Mishnah that's talking about mamayna, our Mishnah that says kol ma'aseh bezdin yachzer, that's in the context of dinei mamonos. This is not dinei mamonos, this is issa v'heter. Now the truth is, every dinei mamonos involves issa v'heter. You have the issa v'sigzol, all the potential isurim that you're going to have, which really lends into the Rashbam Bava Kama Daf Beis, Rav Baruch Ber, and Birch HaShmul right in the beginning, the Chassam Seif and the Tshuva that we've spoken at. How come every suffik mamon, you always go with kulam and nitva? Why isn't every suffik mamon viewed as a suffik isser? But the reality is that this time taina of heichi pasha mari surim and mamayna is a taina that permeates us. You find all the time that even though there's a tzad iser in every dine mamanis, but we always view mamanis l'chud and iser l'chud. So that was Rav Amram's taina to Rabbah. How could you be poshet kol ma'isa bezden yachzer for a get isha from our mishnah? Our mishnah is a mishnah say that is ikin. It's a shnai meichsin the mishnah. It's talking about mamayna. Oh my way. So Rabbah told Rav Amram tarda. Rashi says mishua mam. The art scroll interprets that as shaita. He came to him very, very sharply. He said, "You're telling me the Mishnah is only talking about Mamoina? Did you read the whole Mishnah? Shtori chalitza umiyunitana. The Mishnah doesn't just say shtori Mamoina. It says chalitza miyun. That's not mominous any more than get ishes. Is there a tzad mamon? Yeah, there's ksuba, there's yerusha, there's implications. But it's iser at its core. So what's the difference between a get isha and chalitza and miyun? So the Gemara says, Paka arza de beirav. Right when Rabbah told that to Rav Amram, the beam, or one of the beams that was holding up this base medrash fell, and the base medrash came tumbling down. It was severely damaged. Mar Omar, one said, Mishum lasoy de dipaka, umar Omar Mishum lasoy de dipaka. Rav Amram and Rabbah each said that the reason it happened is because the base medrash was being mekana, kinas Hashem, for each one of their own covered respectively. Meaning, Rabbah felt that he wasn't treated respectfully. That Rav Amram told him in a very sharp way, Heichi Pasha Nari Yisurim in Mamayna, he should have spoken to the great Rabbah in a more refined manner. And Rav Amram felt that Rabbah called me a Tarda, he called me a Shaita. So it was the way you called me that there was this kind of noise. But either way, a very interesting exchange, an anecdote with regards to our sugya. So it's getting late early, so we don't have time. But I did prepare, I wanted to speak a little bit about Rabbah, this idea that you find that Rabbah was a Takif. So much so, there's a Gemara, who cares, it's getting late. There's a Gemara Masechtes, Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, where the Gemara said that Rabbah told Abaya that he's very concerned that after he's nifter, nobody's going to want to get up and properly be maspid him. And the reason is because Rabbah was a takif, and because he was a takif, so maybe people sometimes had certain feelings towards him, and he was worried that by his hesped, it's not going to be so good. So Abaya told his Rebbe Rabbah, you have nothing to worry about. You know, me and Rabbi Bar Chanan will make sure that the hesped is going to go kashmir. There's a Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, Taf Kuf Nun Vav Amin Aleph. The Gemara there says that Manda, anyone that's born in Mazel Madin, is going to be someone that bloodlets. He's going to cause blood to shed. And as a result, you should try to make sure that he's either a Mayol or a Shaykhid, because otherwise he may end up being a Reitzeach. So the Gemara says that Rabbi told Abaya, I was born by Mazel Madin. Abaya told Rabbi, it's true. Mar Nami on Shvakotel. It stems somewhat with your personality. So Rabbi was a Takif, and perhaps the most well-known Gemara on this note is the Gemara Masechtas Megillah, where the Gemara says that Rabbi and Rab Zeir once Pravet Sudas put them together, and come Rabbi Shachtel Rab Zeir. There's a fascinating Chassam Sofer, what the Chassam Sofer says, he doesn't understand. The Gemara says, Chayven ish lebesumi bepuraya, adwa yada ben arham on the Baruch Mardchai. And right afterwards, the Gemara tells a story that Rabbi and Rab Zeira once spent Sudas Purim together and Rabbi killed Rab Zeira. So Chassam Sofer said, if you would ask me, I would walk away from this Gemara thinking that even though there was a psak halach of Chayven ish lebesumi, but the Gemara brought a raya listar to tell me that if the great rabbi came to Shech Rav Zeira, we certainly shouldn't do this. In fact, there is one Shita Sarishonim that says the halach is not Chai Vinish Lubsume. How do I know that? Because the Gemara brought a story. Come Rabbi Shachtel Rav Zeira. So if rabbi came to that, what are we going to say? But Chassam Sofer says that's not the halach in Shulchan Aruch. So how do you understand that? Now, Psak, it would certainly seem that the Gemara brought this story to tell me that that's not the halach. Says the Chassam Sofer Dov Nifkor. You can't bring a raya from Rabbah, because the Gemara says in Shabbos Kufnu Vav and Aleph that Rabbah was born in Mazel Madim. And someone that's born in Mazel Madim, Yehi Gever, is going to be a person that is going to cause blood to flow. He's going, that was his mazel. So the fact that Rabbah came to that is not such a raya that another person would come to that, because it could be that was in his teva. But for an ordinary person, not. Therefore, we can't bring a raya, we can't be mechiach anything lahalacha from Rabbah. But either way, this is Rabbah. Rabbah was a takif. There's many Gemaras that suggest that. Either way, the Mishnah said, Matzah b'chavisa b'tluskim. If somebody found a shnaur, the chavisa or the tluskim, even though ordinarily if somebody finds a shnaur, the halachas are lo yachzer. But here, the chavisa or the tluskim, which is where the shtar was found, that can constitute a sinin. And the halacha is, you could return it. My chavisa, what is a chavisa? Amar Rabbah bar barchano chemas ktana. It's a small jug that they used to store wine in. My tluskim, amar Rabbah bar shmuel tlika de sabi. So Rashi says that the Alti Eden, they used to have a little kashana, like a wallet, or it sounds more like a pocketbook of some sorts, where they would, it's true, where they used to keep their things, And if somebody found the shtar over there, it's not a place where people, you usually don't keep a shtar in a bottle of wine or a chemas yayin. So therefore, it would be considered a simen. So even though ordinarily matzah shtar chayva reza liyachzer, but if there's a simen, there's a simen. Takrich shel shtaros, oy agudah shel shtaros. That too would be a simen. So what's a takrich shel shtaros? We said a bundle of shtaros. What's an agudah shel shtaros? We said it's a bundle of shtaros. So they can't both mean the same thing. Tana rabban kama hu takrich shel shtaros. How many shtaros have to be in this bundle in order for it to be called a takrich? Shloisha kruchin zeh bezeh. Three. The kama hi agudah shel shtaros. Shloisha. Now, there's a chiluk haloshein between kruchen and kshurim. Kruchen sounds like they're intertwined with each other. Kshurim sounds like you have three individual shtaris, they're just tied together. Says the Gemara, shamet mino kesher simen. It sounds from here like the kesher is a simen. Because if the three are rolled individually, they're just tied together, what's the simen going to be? The way they're tied. Shema mino kesher simen, and this is a sugya. If you look in the Maseres Hashas, lekamon chav gimel amid beis, lekamon chav hey amid beis. This is a sugya that comes up a few times in Perek Eilu Metzias. Is a kesher a simen or is a kesher not a simen? Meaning, it's an external thing. It was tied together like this. Is that a simen or not a simen? It sounds from here, yeah. Because if the three shtaris, the agudo, were just three shtaris, kshur and zebezeh, what's the simen going to be? So bishlam, if they're kruchin zebezeh, so they're somehow all bunched together, so the kruchin could be the simen. That's not a shayla. But kshurin is a shayla. And if the Mishnah says kshurin zebezeh, Hareza Yachzer, so you say Meris, it's a simen. So says the Gemara, Shamet mino kesher simen, so the Gemara, Hatani Rabchia, Shloisha kruchin zebezeh. Shloisha agudos, or agudos al shtaris, doesn't mean kshurim, it means kruchin. It's kruchin the same way takrich is kruchin. It's the same thing, so the Gemara says it's a little different. Takrich kol chad v'chad, bereshet chavrei, aguda derami adadi ukruchos. So one is lying on the other one along its length, the other one along its width. Either way, they were kruchin in different ways, but the simen is not the kesher, the simen is the way it's koruch. My machriz, what was the hachraza? So the Gemara says, minyan. My area, says the Gemara, tlasa afilu train nami. It's if we're going to announce the minyan, and the simen is the way we just understood. You're going to come forward and you're going to say how it was karuch. Then why did it say shloisha? Meaning the way we just learned the Gemara, it seems like that's what the Gemara is saying, is that the simen is the way it's karuch. That's why the Gemara thought it can't be kshurin, because kesher is not so simple that it's a simen. So it sounds like the simen is the way it's karach. If the simen is the way it's karach, why did it have to be three? Why can't somebody say, I found two shtaris, that kruchin zebezeh, was a tachrich, it was a guda, karach this way, karach that way, and let somebody come forth, tell us how they were karach, and let that be the simen. Why does it have to be three? Says the Gemara, Ella, it's true. From the fact that you see it has to be three, it must be that we're not understanding this Gemara properly. Ela kud amar rabino, tiva machris. He said it with regards to a sugya in Eilu Metzias, talking about tiva, which is money. That sugya is not our sugya now. Hachanami, what is our sugya, is shtari machris. The way it works is, it could be what the Mishnah is saying, is that the minyan itself would be the simen. Somebody would say, I found a tachrich shal shtaris. Somebody comes forth and he says, it was three, the minyan is part of the simen. Being that the minyan is part of the simen, you'd have to have at least a number of significance from a simen perspective. That's why two, which is insignificant from a simen perspective, wouldn't work. Three would work. If you found three shtaris, one loiva, three malvin, you give it to the loiva. Says the Gemara, why? Because if they're from the malva, my boy Gabi Adadi, why are they together? Fake the Gemara, why? I'll give you a scenario. Maybe you had three malvin that all had shtaris. They wanted to be mekayim the chesomas of the shtar. Keep shtaris the rabbanon. You can't be goiva a shtar choiv unless this kiyum. So they all went together to the dayan to have the kiyum done. So why are you assuming that it's for sure from the loiva? Because it's one loiva. Because what's the probability that three malvin shtaris would be together? It's very simple. They all have the same focus. They're all trying to get their shtar mekuyim. So the Gemara says the mekayimi, it already was mekuyim. Oh, being that it was already mekuyim, so they're obviously not on their way to do the kiyum. Dilma miyoda de safran offal. So the Gemara says, oh, very good. Maybe three malvin dropped off their shtar by the soifer for the purpose of kiyum, and now the soifer was the three shtaris. So it came from one person that was holding on to the three shtaris. It's, again, a plausible story. Why is it so posh? You give it to the loiva. There might be a lot of money at stake. You're giving it to the loiva because it makes sense. If it's one loiva, it probably fell from the loiva. Maybe it fell from the soifer, who has the three shtaris, from the three respected malvin. What's he doing with the shtaris? They were given to him to do the kiyum shtaris. So the Gemara says, Le'mashi inish kiyum abiyada de safra. If somebody deposits a shtar with the soifer, he doesn't wait for the delivery at the end of the week for the soifer to get around to give it back to him. He's not living it by the soifer. It's COD. I give it to you, I'll wait here while you do it, and I'm going to take it back with me. These shtars are very, very valuable. They're not recorded like today. You don't have this kind of access to information. If you didn't have that piece of paper, you would do. You lost everything. So it's not mistaber that the malva would give it to the soifer and even give the soifer an opportunity to lose it. So for that reason, Shimon Gamliel said, it makes much more sense that it fell from the loiva. It didn't fall from the malva. That's why you give it to the loiva. The same was in the reverse. Shloisha shlova meyachad yachzal malva. One malva, three loivin, you give it to the malva. The Gemara makes the same chesh, but isol gadaitach to loivin inu, because if it fell from the loiva, my bo gabi adodi, had you end up with three loivin together. So the Gemara says, Dilma lemichtavinu asli. Maybe there were three people that knew that they wanted to borrow money from the same person. So they decided to go together to a cipher to pay in to write the shtar. So the three people, they went together, and that's why the three shtaris are together. So the Gemara says, the chsivi b'tlasi de safri, the handwriting of the three shtaris are three different cipherim. So that's obviously not what happened. They didn't go together to a cipher because it's three cipherim. They went together to three cipherim. That really doesn't make sense. V'dilma l'kiyum minu asli, maybe the loivim dropped it, and the reason they had it together is because they went to be mekayim the shtar. So the Gemara says, malva mekayim shtari, loiva le mekayim shtari. Right, the first rule in business is don't negotiate against yourself. So let the malva be mekayim the shtar. You shouldn't be mekayim the shtar yourself. Three loivim are not going to be mekayim the shtar. That's the malva's headache. So it's not mistaber that three loivim came together to be mekayim. So if you have one malva and three loivim, it fell from the malva. If there's one loiva and three malvin, we assume that it fell from the loiva. The last halacha in the Mishnah was in Yesh Imohem Simpoinois Yase Mashez Bisim. Pointless. So what's simpin? So we have simpin in the Masechtas Ksubas. Simpin in the Masechtas Ksubas is a mum, right? Vartoyra Rusa Bas Yisrael Lechelas Betruma. But with the Rabbanon, she's not letting eat truma. Why not? So one man domer says Mishum simpin. We're concerned that the husband is going to find out that his wife has a mum. Huvra Adav Lamafreya. They were never married. If they were never married, she was a Bas Yisrael that was eating truma. She wasn't allowed to eat truma. Once they get married, he'll see any mum that he's supposed to see. If he's not moichel at that time, then obviously sover v'kibol, he can't back out of the marriage anymore. But here simpin means a shofar. It means a shofar. Rashi explains where the word simpin comes to shofar. But over here it means shofar, a receipt. It says the Gemara, if somebody found the receipt, he should assume that the receipt is good. Reuven loaned Shimon $1,000, and now he's going through his shtaros, going through his desk, cleaning up, and he finds a simpa. He finds a receipt. The receipt says that Shimon paid back the $1,000. Even if he himself, the malva, Reuven, wrote the simpoin, he wrote the shofar with his own handwriting. You could assume that it was mesachik, it wasn't a real shofar, and the halach is it's possible, because the loiv is the one that's supposed to have the shofar, not the malva. So to the extent that me, the malva, has the simpoin, that's a raya that it's not real. You can just throw it in the garbage, make believe you never saw it, it never happened. Says the Gemara. Loi mi boyo, meaning Rav said, even if it was written b'ksav yodoy, what's that even? Loi mi boyo kosav b'ksav yad soifer, that's poshut if it was written by the soifer, tikul me mesafer, it's rambali b'kosav. Where you can say that maybe this yid didn't really know how to write a shofar, and he knew he may need the shofar. You know why he may need the shofar? The Gemara is going to play it out. Because maybe the loiva is going to come late at night, and he's going to say, I'm willing to pay, but only if you give me a shofar. So this yid wants to make sure he has a shofar handily. Because if the loiva is willing to pay, you never know if you're going to get this shasa kosher again. He wants to grab the money. The problem is he needs a shofar, so he had a shofar handy. So if it was written b'ksav shofar, it's definitely reasonable that it's not a real shofar, and it's just something that he has prepared to give the loiva to the extent he's going to be willing to pay. Meaning Rav didn't only say his halach in that case, where the chash that it was never a real shofar is very real, but even if it was written b'ksav yodei pasul, sovar dilma misrami v'asi bein hashmoshes v'kaparali, because even if it's written b'ksav yodei, there's the possibility that something like this would happen. Maybe he's going to come late at night, so that even though the malvin knows how to write the shtar, but it takes time to write the shtar, if I don't give him the shofar, he's not going to to give me the money. Let me have it ready. Let me have it handy so that if he wants to pay me, he'll pay me. The bottom line is, if the Malva is the one that has the Shoiver, we say that maybe he just had the Shoiver prepared, whether a Sefer wrote it or even if he himself wrote it, it doesn't matter. We don't assume that it's a real Shoiver. It doesn't necessarily reflect a payment. Because if the Shoiver was supposed to reflect payment, the Loiver would be the one carrying the Shoiver, not the Malva. So again, it's similar to the theme of these last sukkahs. Last sukkahs are talking about somebody random on the street found the Shoiver. Here, the Malva himself found the Shoiver. He doesn't have good recollection of whether he got payment or not. The fact that he has a Shoiver means nothing. It sounds like we're talking about where the Malva found the Simpa. What's the halacha? Do what the simpain says. It means assume that it was in fact paid. So the Gemara says, no, not muchach. Kido amar Rav Safra, shenimtza ben shtoris keruyim. Rav Safra said it regarding something else. Hachanami shematza ben shtoris keruyim. Rav Safra made an akimta that it could be the shtar was found between his torn up shtoris. We can make that same akimta in our Mishnah, and as a result, the kasha is not a kasha. Rashi says, ben shenimtza le yashtar, shehashever yoitzer olav. Not the shever. You found the underlying shtar, ben shtoris of keruyim. Ruin. The who ain't a karua, the fichach soimchen ala shayver. That's why you rely on the shayver. Shemokam ashtar mechiach ala shayver shahu emes. Sheem loy nifra, had the shtar not been paid up, lehoy your nois and ashtar, etzel ashtar is kruin. Rashi brings two pshatim. So we'll go with Rashi's first pshat. He found not the shayver ben shtaros of karuin, he found the underlying shtar. So there's already an umdana that the shtar was paid. Now that you found the shayver, together with the fact that this shtar, which is not karua, but it's together with the shtar's karua, we could assume that it's in fact paid. Zok the Gemara Toshma. Nimtzo le'echa ben shtaros of shtaros Yosef ben Shimon parua. Somebody had two shtaros to Yosef ben Shimon, and one of them was parua. So the halacha is shneim parua. You found a shoiver that says that one of them was paid. You can't collect money from either one of them because you don't know which one of them paid. And as a result, you won't be able to collect either one. So again, it's mashma at the very least that if you find a shoiver, you can trust the shoiver. So the Gemara says, "Kedomer Rav Safra shenimtza ben shtaris keruin." The pshat is like Rav Safra said. Again, it was found ben shtaris perum. There's already an umdina that something was paid. Once there's an umdina that something was paid, the shtar itself was ben shtaris peruin. So that gives already some momentum to the shoiver to assume that maybe the shoiver is a real shoiver. Hachanami shenimtza ben shtaris keruin. Toshma shvur shloi pakadnu abo. The context over there is where Yisoyimim are going to collect on a loan that they understand was outstanding from their father. The exact context is Yisoyimim are collecting from Yisoyimim. The Teveya are Yisoyimim, the Nitva are Yisoyimim. So they come and they say that we want to collect. So the halach is like Dipar Ela B'Shvur. What's the Shvur? Shvur Shalei Pakadnu Abba. Our father never told us anything about payment. V'Shalei Omer Lanu. Again, he never told us anything. V'Shalei Matzonu Bein Shtarois of Shalabesh Shtar Zeperua. We never even found the Shoiver. What does it sound like if they would find the Shoiver? I thought we just said that if the Malva finds the Shoiver, you don't have to assume it's a real Shoiver. The same thing. The Shtar was found, Ben Shtaros of Karun. That now is an Umdana. It lends some credibility to the Shoiver. There you have to assume the Shoiver is right. That's why these Yisraelim that want to collect, they would have to swear first that their father never paid, that they never found the Shoiver. Toshma, Simpan, Shiesh, Olav, Edim, Yiskai, Bechai, Soma. A Simpan that has Edim, be Mekayim. What does it sound like? It sounds like you trust the simpan. Ema says the Gemara, Yiskayim Mechay Somov. Not Yiskayim Bechay Somov. It's for sure a good shtar. Just do Kiyim Shtaris. What it means is, Yiskayim Mechay Somov. Go ask the Edim and hear what they have to say. The Shailin and Lulu Sa'adi, Iparua, Iloi Parua. Toshma, simpan, Shiyah Shalav Edim Kosher. Simpan that has Edim is Kosher. My Edim, again, Ede Kiyom. Not Edim. But Ede Kim, Hochinami Mistaber, Mitik Tony Safe of Shein Olavedim Possum. My Ein Olavedim. What does the Safe mean? Elaim, the Lekhi, Elaim, Klau. If the Nidin over here is there are Adim, there are no Adim. So the Safe, you tell me, there's no Adim at all, it's going to be Possum. Trichalim, Eim, the Possum. Elamai, we're talking about Adim in addition to the Adim that are actually signed on the document. Must be Ede Kim. That's the Nidin. If they're Ede Kim, it's Kosher. No Ede Kim, it's Possum. But that in itself, that this Adim, there's a Shtar, that means nothing because we just said the Simpa in Biyad HaMalva doesn't necessarily mean anything. Gufa, regarding this last halacha, Simpa in a Shoiver that the Malva has, Shiesh Olav Edim, Yiskai Bechay Samav, Ein Olav Edim, let's say there are no Edim, the Yoitze Mitachas of Deshlish, if a third party is holding on to the Shoiver, or the Shoiver itself was written on the document, so you have a Shtar Choyv, Edim assigned, and on the bottom of it, you have the Shoiver itself, then the halacha is kosher. Why? If a third person is holding on to the shtar, it's kasher dohem neimalva l'shlish. Because the malva obviously trusted the shlish. This is the sugi of shlish that you have in the third parak in the sixth parak in Masechtas Gittin, parak Omer. So this is a big sugya. But once the shlish is holding on to it, he was clearly trusted by the parties, so you have to go along with what he says. If the shlish says it's a kasher shayver, you have no choice but to go along with it. Nami, there two dalachas it's going to be kosher. The lav the paria, because had it not been paid, like have a morale of shtari. The person would not write a shoiver on the bottom of the shtar if it's not real. So if it's on the shtar itself, which clearly establishes a significant race of the shtar, it must be that it's real. Hadron aloch shnayim oichsin.
The following raid bites are being added to the daf as in Yana Dioma.
Rebruvi Margolis, one of the many svarim that he wrote, a sefer that we've quoted from many times, is called Oilolois. That's the name of the sefer. The sefer is called Oilolois. And sefer Oilolois, Simin Chaf Aleph, Rabruvi Margolis asks, that why is it when you go through the Megillah, very often the city of Shushan is referred to as Shushan, and very often the city of Shushan is referred to as Shushan Habira. Maishna, sometimes it's referred to as Shushan, and sometimes it's referred to as Shushan Abir. And if you just go through the Megillah, it's very clear. But then again, you find Vatoimer Esther, Lahoshev al Mordechai, Leich Knois, Eskola Yehudim, Hanimtsin, Bishushan. The Ir Shushan, Tzahol of Esamecha. The Ir Shushan, Nevoicha. You find that the Pasik says, sometime, Vatoimer Esther, Mamelach Tov, Yinosin, Gamachal, Yehudim, Asher, Bishushan. So sometimes it's Shushan Abira, and sometimes it's Shushan. So Maishna, sometimes it's Shushan Abira, and sometimes it's Shushan. So Reuven Margolis said, that the truth is, this was always a mystery, he believes. But recently, there was an archaeological find, he said, in Iran. And he believes that it opens up a little bit of a mafteach to be able to understand this. So what did the archaeologists find? They found that in the ancient city of Shushan, there was a large area that was like almost like a miniature city, where the castle and the palace and where the king and a lot of the dignitaries lived. That area was surrounded by a body of water. And on the other side of the water, there was a city. And it's clear that the two cities were related to each other. But there was like an inner, more dignified, more chashuv part. And then there was the outer part. This is what the archaeologists discovered. Said Rav Reuven Margolis, it's poshut to him. That's the Cheshbon. He said the city at large was called Shushan. But within the city of Shushan, there was a small area that was called Shushan Abira. And Shushan Abira was where the Melech lived. So the Melech lived in Shushan Abira. The dignitaries were all in Shushan Abira. So the city at large was Shushan. That's the capital. You know, the capital of this kingdom, it was Shushan. Within Shushan, there's a small city called Shushan Abira. And it really is its own city. It has its own zip code. In fact, it's separated by a body of water. So said Reuven Margolis, that if you go through the Psukim, it's very, very clear. B'shushan habira v'yafkid ha-melech pekidim b'chol medinois malchusoi v'yikpitzu es kol nara b'sula toves mara. Where are all these women being rounded up? Where are they going to go? El Shushan Abira, El Beis HaNoshim, El Yad Heges, Riz HaMelech, Shomer HaNoshim, V'Nosan Tamruket, Ish Yehudi Hoya, where? B'Shushan Abira. His name was Mordechai. Mordechai was a dignitary. He was a government official. So where's this government official going to be? It's Bashan. He's going to be in Shushan Abira. Harotzim Yotzu Tchufim B'Dvar HaMelech, V'Ados Nitna, B'Shushan Abira. Because that's where it is. That's where the Senate is. That's where Congress is. That's where the government is. It's all based in Shushan Abira. But in the same pasuk, V'amelech v'haman yashvu lishtois, v'ha'ir Shushan. It's the whole city. Because really, the whole city was at risk. But every time there's something that's happening from a royal perspective, it's going down in Shushan Abira. So the city of Shushan is made up really of two parts. It's made up of the greater city Shushan. Within the city of Shushan, you have Shushan. Leich Knois is Kol HaYehudim HaNimtzim B'Shushan. It's not Shushan Abira. There it's going to be Shushan. And he says you go through every single pasuk, you're going to understand it literally Kemin Chaimah. One of the things he says is at the end of the Megillah. So what happened? It was a venapachu. What was the venapachu? Instead of Yud Gimel's Man Kila L'Choli, instead of that being the day that all the Amalekim were going to be able to kill the Yidden, it was venapachu. So they killed Haman, and they hung his 10 sons. And then the Pasuk says that the king got a tally. Right, he comes, he gets a briefing. Ba'yoymahu, they tell the king, Ba mispar ha'arugim b'shushan habiru lefnei ha'melech. Ba'yoymah ha'melech lester ha'malko, b'shushan habiru, he says, you know, shushan habiru, hargu ha'yehudim, va'abed chamesh me'yosish. They killed 500 people. Va'seis ha'seris b'nei Haman. They went ahead and they killed him as well. Now, time rests. What does Esther say? Right, we know what Esther says. She says, I want one more day. But said Rebuvah Margolis, look more carefully in the Pasuk. Esther tells the king, in Malamelech Toiv, Yinosen gan mochar la Yehudim ashe b'shushan laso is kedos hayoim. Ves aseres b'nei Haman yitlu alo eitz. Vayoymer ha-melech leheos is kein. Vatinosen dos b'shushan ves aseres b'nei Haman tolu. Poshit, she just wanted one more day. But it's a little more. The original Vinahapachu was only for Shushan Abira. So the Nekama was only for that little area in Shushan Abira, and they killed 500 people. Bom Mispara Rukim Beshushan Habira Lifnei Hamelech. Vayem Hamelech Lester Amalko Beshushan Habira Hargu Hayehudim. But what did she want? She didn't only want to take the Nekama from Shushan Abira. Vatoymer Esther Amalek Toyvi Nosik Amalek Lahudim Asher Beshushan. Vayem Amalek Lyosis Kevat Tinos and Dos Beshushan. Literally one pasuk after the next. Shushan Abira, Shushan Abira, Shushan, Shushan. What, this is all just coincidence? That it goes from Shushan to Shushan Abira. The Teretz is because there were two places. There was Shushan Abira and there was Shushan. And Haman lived. He was a dignitary of Shushan Abira. So the original Nekama, Mordechai, was going to be killed in Shushan Abira. That's what the Nekama was. But what Esther wanted was, she wanted it to be in Shushan as well. But said Rebuvah Margolis, that where is he basing this on? He's basing it on because the archaeologists discovered that there was a Medina b'toich Medina. What were those two Medinas separated by? They were separated by a body of water. So says Rebuvah Margolis, and this is classic, he says, I think with Tfizeh we can understand the Gemara that we just learned a little bit better. The Gemara says that when Mordechai fasted, so it says Vayavar Mordechai. He was Vayavar. It says, what does it mean, Vayavar? So the Gemara said two pshatim. One pshat, Vayavar, means that they were over. Shehevri yoim rishon shal pesach betaynis. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, the avar arkuma demaya. He went over a body of water to tell the Yidden to fast. What was this body of water that he crossed over? Said Rav Reuven Margolis, it's poshut, this was the body of water. He was an ish Yehudi that was Hoyo B'Shushan Habira. He crossed over the body of water. He went to the city of Shushan. And that's why right after it's Vayir Shushan Avoicha, Lech Noises Kol HaYehudim Asher B'Shushan. So if he had to go to Shushan, he had to take the ferry. He had to go over the body of water. And that's what he did. The Vayavar means he was over. And that's the rest of the story. So we know the story of Shushan, or is it Shushan Habira? Sakhtar Ruhu Margolis, they're both true. There was a place called Shushan, and there was a place called Shushan Habira. Sholcholam Esther lechachamim kivouni ledoiros. I want you to be kivaya my yontif. Right, Esther just presided over one of the great miracles of all time. It was a transformational event. Hadid kiblu b'me'achashverish. And she wanted this to become a yontif. Now, usually when you think of Yontif, up until that point, every Yontif is biblical. You have Pesach, you have Shavuos, you have Sukkot, you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And she said, Kivouni ledoiros. She wanted this to be chronicled, but not just to be written. Rashi, liyontif, one, ulekriya. There should be a mitzvah to read the Megillah. Now, why did she want this? So Rashi says, liyois li l'shem. She wanted this to be a shem for her. So it's not clear what that means. What does it mean, liyois li l'shem? So I'm not sure, but Lule de Mistafina, maybe you could say, the Pasuk says, V'nosati lehem bevesi uvechoy moisai, yod v'shem, toiv mibonim u'mibonois, shem oilom eten loy, ashaloy yikaris. We all know the Pasuk, it's in the Haftarah that we read on a tainus tzibur. So the Gemara in Perek Chelek, Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Samech Gimel Amud Beis, says, my shem oilom eten loy, ashaloy yikaris. What does that mean? So we have someone who, it seems, doesn't have banim u'banos, but at the same time, v'nasati lehem bevesi u'bechoy moisa yod v'shem, which is toiv mi banim u'mi banos. What is
better than banam ubanos, it's a shame oylam etingloy. Says the Gemara, Amrav Tanchun, Dorish bar Kapora, but see Poiri, says Sefer Daniel. It's referring to Sefer Daniel, Shenikra al Shmoy. Daniel was Zoicha, they had a Sefer that was written. We have a Sefer Daniel, it's one of the Ksuvim. So Daniel got a shame oylam. The shame oylam is Sefer Daniel, that's Nikra al Shmoy. If a person is Zoicha, that he has a Sefer that's Nikra al Shmoy, it's a shame oylam. Esther wants a shame. Liois li l'shem, Zok Rashi. What does it mean, liois li l'shem? The book of Esther. She wants Megillus Esther. Just like Daniel got a shame oylam, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadach Gimel Amid Beis. She wanted a shame as well. But why did she want it so badly? So again, this is the Lulei, the Mistafina part. The Pasuk says that if someone is zoicha to a shame oylam, it's toiv mi banam u mi banos. Esther was trapped in a marriage that she didn't want to have anything to do with. Esther was forced to marry Achashverosh. And because she was forced to marry Achashverosh, and especially at the end of the Megillah, where she says, Kasher avadati, avadati, at this point she was stuck. She had to be married to Achashverosh. And because of that, how was she going to raise a Jewish family? She had a son. Chazal say it was Dayavesh. And Dayavesh, we learned the Gemara together, Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Dalon Amin Aleph, was super questionable. Wasn't poshut at all. So the point is that where was she going to have banam ubanos? It was going to be very, very challenging. So, Sholcholem Esther Lechachomim Kivouni Ledeiris. I can't have Banam Ubanos. So, I'm stuck with Achashverosh. But she's Esther Amalka. She's Azat Sadekis. She's, we think of her as one of the mice, right? You think of Esther. You think of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Esther. But really, what did Esther have? She had Dayovish, King Darius II? I mean, what was she Zoichet to? So she said, Kivouni Ladiris, I want a shame oilam, because a shame oilam is toiv mi banamu mi banos. That's why she's lobbying in this Gemara. It's very hard to read the Gemara. Why did she want this so badly? She wanted to have what Daniel had. Shame oilam, which is toiv mi banamu mi banos. Shalu Talmidav es Reb Shimon bar Yochai. The Talmidim asked Reb Shimon bar Yochai that what did the Jews of that generation do to deserve to be wiped out? He said, "No, tell me them. You want to make a suggestion?" They said, "Yeah, because they had anam misudasai shall oisai harasha." We spoke out in the daf tchsam soifer. What could have been so bad about sudasai shall oisai harasha? Because on some level, this was a celebration of the fact that the Navu of Yirmiyo and Daniel wasn't going to play out. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, I hear it's a good thought. And it's definitely something that would warrant Nebuch something so terrible. But at the same time, if that's really what it was, then it should have only affected the Jews in Shushan, because only they went to the Suda. The Jews outside of Shushan didn't go. So why would it have been Lahashmidu, Lahareg, all the Yidden living in all 127 Medinas? So they said, okay, Rabbi, so no, you say. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, Neshesh Shtachvu L'Tzelem. It's because they bowed down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar, and it's for that reason. So they said, if that's the reason, the whole Klai Yisrael bowed down to the Tzelem. If this was really so bad, V'chimasu panim yesh bedavar, so how did they creep out of this? So how did it not happen? How was this whole thing averted? So the Gemara says, Amar lehem Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, Heim lo yasu ela lefanim. What they did, and the way they acted, as terrible and as miserable as it was, but it was only outward. It was a superficial thing. It was Mi'ira. They were just doing it because they were afraid. But deep down, they didn't really bow down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. So Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Lo yasim an el lefanim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing. And Kadosh Baruch Hu acted and behaved in a way as if something terrible was going to happen, but really never meant for anything terrible to happen. That really HaKadosh Baruch Hu never in his mind thought for 1 minute that all of this was going to happen. It's kedai to just take a look at the Marsha for 1 second, the Chedushi HaGadus on this Gemara. It's a few lines, just read it inside. Says the Marsha, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aso Himahem Lefanim Ratzel Leimar Shehem Layasu Rak Miyiras Hariga. The Yidden bowed down to the Tzelem because they were afraid. Chananya, Mishael, Azariah, they were three tzaddikim, they were thrown into the Kifshanesh, but all the other Jews were guilty. Kimefurish b'sefer Daniel. V'lo yasu kein b'liban l'avod avodah zarah. They never really in their heart worshipped avodah zarah. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yasu himoim rak lefanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing. Liyarim, to scare the Yidden. Sheruyim l'kloya, to make them think that something bad might happen. Sheyidagu, so that they'll be worried. Sheyasu tshuva, and then they'll do tshuva al yedei kach. V'hainu kinloi ina ha'adam yiliboy, m'yasa avero, v'chulu v'chulu. Says the Marsha, the Yidden only acted outwardly, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted as if something was going to happen. The Yidden acted in a bad way because they were afraid. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Mida kenegen mida? He scared the Yidden. They acted miyira, so now he caused fright. to the Yidden. But really, the Purim story was never going to happen. It's not shot that really there was a gzera. It was about to happen at the last second. All of a sudden, disaster averted. It's not what happened. This was never supposed to go down. Everything happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen. The Yidden was supposed to be afraid. They were going to hopefully do tshuva. Now, if they wouldn't have done tshuva, that's something else. But assuming they were going to do tshuva, there was never really... Xer would scare them, get them to a point where the Yidden are going to do tshuva, and if they do tshuva, everything is going to be beseder. So I was thinking, just a very, very posh to machshava. Chazal, in so many different places, they talk about how the Yidden, as a nation, had to be in Golos four times. Right? The Arba Golios. Golos Bavel, Golos Paras Umadai, or Madai Uparas. You have Golos Yavon, and then you have Golos Edom. Golos Bavel was the Babylonian Empire. Paras Umadai, that's Persia. Golos Yavam is the Greeks. And Edom were the Romans that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash and really everything that we've been through since Churban Bayis Sheni. If you think about it, Golos Bavel, what was the symbol of Golos Bavel? It's the fact that they destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Golos Yavon, that's the Hanukkah story. They ransacked the Beis HaMikdash. And really, all the spiritual tzaris that the Yidden had and have, Adayei Mazeh, is all attributed to Golos Yavon. Edom, the Roman Empire, they destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. And really, when you think of the Roman Empire, you're thinking all the way to Nazi Germany. This is all part of Golos Edom. It's all part of what Chazal meant when they said Edom. So we understand the defining character traits of all these different Golias. But what was Golos Paras Umadai? I mean, Paras Umadai is in the same conversation. It's on that same Mount Rushmore of Golias. You have Golos Bavel, you have Paras Umadai, you have Yavon, and you have Edom. What was Paras Umadai? What happened in Golos Paras Umadai? It wasn't so bad. Go through Ezra and Nehemiah. Paras Umadai let the Yidden rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. Wasn't such a terrible deal. In fact, Dayavash the second was Esther's son. Things seemed to be pretty good. What was so terrible about Golos Paras? What was the defining moment of Paras Umadai? It's the Purim story. It's Pashat. That's what it is. It's the Purim story. It's Vayhibi Me'ach HaShverish. That's what it was. But here's the interesting thing. Nothing ever happened to Me'ach HaShverish. Nothing happened. Was there one casualty during the Purim story? Nothing happened. It was Venahapachula Yehudim. The whole Golos Paras Umadai was one big scare. That's really all it was. Nothing happened. Bavel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Yavon Upgaret destroyed the Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. Edom destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. Edom gassed 6 million Jews not so long ago. What did Paras Umadai do? How did they get into this chabura? What is the definition? What is Paras Umadai? How do you even understand Golos Paras Umadai? Like, what is it? It seems like from this Gemara, Golos Paras Umadai, and really the Yisoid of Paras Umadai was to scare the Yidden. And I think sometimes you find this in life where the Eibishter will send a person an Asayan, and the Asayan was a scare. That's all it is. And in life, people were always being scared. This happens, that happens. It could be medical, it could be this, it could be that. There's always scares. And really, that's the essence of what Paras Umadai was. Paras Umadai scared the Jews. There was a gzera. The Yidden were living with this gzera for a long time. The Hashmid, the Harigul Abed, and every night Yidden are going to sleep, and every morning they're waking up knowing that Yud Gimel Adar is a day that circles Man Kilo L'Chayli, where they're going to come after us. And it was very, very scary. And the Yidden were living in fear. Who knows how this is going to play out? And that's really the essence of Paras Umadai. And that's a golus. It's a golus. It could be a bitter golus. To be scared and to be living in fear could be very, very, very not poshut. But what do you see from Purim? What do you see from Golos Paras Umadai? At the end of the day, when the Eibishter scares a person, it's really an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's a wake up. It's an opportunity to do tshuva. It's an opportunity for a person to be mizbeinin. When the Eibishter wanted to send a golus that was going to wipe out a Beis HaMikdash and Yidden, there was Bavel, there was Edom, there was Yavon. These were fighting Golias. But every Golias is unique. Every Golias is different. Every Golias has its defining tchunas. And the defining tchuna of Paras Umadai, it would seem, was Kilayina Beliba, because I never wanted to do anything. So what then did you do? Zokhtem Arshad, this was all a way to get the Jews to wake up. So like this, they'll do tshuva. And you know what happened? What happens if a person goes through an ordeal in life, and then, Baruch Hashem, he makes it out, and everything is fine. You feel like a 1,000-pound weight is taken off your chest and you appreciate life more. And you're able to start appreciating every minute and realizing that, you know what? Right? That's often the hirhurim that happens. That's exactly what Klal Yisrael did. What happened right after the Purim story? It's a chiddush that they were mekabel Torah ba'ahava. I don't think it's a chiddush at all. To go through such a trauma, to go through such an event, and to be in such a eis tzara hi liyakiv, and then all of a sudden, averted, done, nothing to worry about. They came about and they were mekabel Torah ba'ahava. They say, you know something? We're wasting our time. We're busy, like, being nourished. Realize what we have, and this was the wake up call that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael, and they responded. And the way they responded was with a second base on Mikdash, with Hadik Kiblu Abideach Hashmerish, because that's always the way it is. When a person goes through something, if it doesn't kill him, he ends up walking out and emerging stronger. And that's exactly what happened to the Bnei Yisrael at this time. It's just a hergish, chesnish. But this idea of paras umadai, nothing really happened. The galus was, it was the fear. It was the skir, like the Marshal says. It was yira. The Eibush was just trying to skir Klal Yisrael. Why just skir? Just if you want to take, there were no concentration camps. There weren't. What it was skir. It was fear. It was a wake-up call. It was an opportunity for the Yidden to be able to do tshuva. And the Yidden did do tshuva. And that's why it went from being Vayir Shusha Nevoicha to La Yehudim Hoysa Oyre Vesimcha Vesasim Vikar. Maybe a little bit of a deeper appreciation for what Galus Paras Umadai is, and certainly a positive takeaway in terms of understanding that from Yira, with fear comes opportunity. And I think that's very, very much the feature of the Purim story. There was Yira, there was fear, there was Daiga, and what came from that? What came from that was a Hadr Kiblua B'Meach HaShverish. The Yidden were Mekabel Torah in a way in that generation that they weren't Mekabel Torah when they left Mitzrayim during the Dar Deya, because that feeling of relief and appreciation for every moment and every day, Vos Tutzach, that wake-up call was something that they very, very much took, and it resulted in tremendous yeshuas.
It's interesting that all three things that the Gemara mentions as a description of what Mardchai did were related to the tefillas of Mardchai HaTzadik. So it would seem that the tefillah of Mardchai was a very, very big deal. Meaning, we know that high level, Mardchai was the one that oversaw, he presided over the miracle of Purim, together with Esther and other members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. But what's the emphasis? When we talk about who Mardchai is, what's his essence? There's three words that describe him. He's Ben Yair, he's Ben Shimi, he's Ben Kish. And what does it mean, says the Gemara? It means tefillah, it means tefillah, it means tefillah. And what comes to mind is the Rambam that we spoke out so fleetingly the other day. The Rambam who mentions at the end of his Minyan HaMitzvahs, it's printed in the beginning of the Mada Chelik of the Rambam. So after he lists the 613 mitzvahs, there's a short paragraph where the Rambam talks a little bit about mitzvahs. And then at the end, he digresses and he talks about Purim. And his lashon is that the reason Hashem commanded us with the mitzvah of Purim and a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Lav Yoinim, it's of course to give Shvach Vaidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ukedei. And then he says, but there's another punchline. Lohidia L'Doiris Habayim She'emes Mashi Hiftichanu B'Toyra Kimigoy Gadol HaShaloy Elikim Kreve Meilov. The story of Purim is exhibit A for the power of tefillah. Meaning, it says in the Torah that if a yid can ever be in a tzara, daven, and Hashem is going to answer your prayers. We need, for some reason, to give an example, l'doiros, like this, Jews will know that this is the way it is. So what's the example? The Purim story. It's a pella. You need to make a yontif and a zecher to realize that something that the Torah said is emes, the Torah said it, of course it's emes. It's a fascinating idea. But the bottom line is that's what Purim is. Purim is about the koyach ha-tefillah. So it's not a chiddush that Mardchai, who is the gadol, who the manik through whom the whole Purim miracle happened, what must have been a big part of his koyach? Tefillah. Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, tefillah, tefillah, tefillah.
The Chasam Sofer also, in one of his drushes, says a dover nifla. So Mordechai just had this unbelievable Yeshua. He was literally taken through the main street. He's wearing the Levush Malchus. He's driving the Sus Asher Rochav Olav HaMelech. And he has Haman, no less, yelling and screaming, Kocha Yeyos Eloyish Asher HaMelech Chofetz Bikorem. But then it came to an end, right? This was just this one-time event that Ahasuerus is doing, hoping that this is going to bring some inside information as to maybe someone's going to hit the plot. But what does Mordechai do as soon as this was finished? Vayoshav Mordechai el Shar HaMelech. He went back to the Shar HaMelech. Say Chazal. What does it mean he went back to the Shar HaMelech? He went back to doing what he had been doing all along. And that is Sheshav L'Sakai L'Tanisai. He went back to fast. So the Chassam Sofer says a Dover Nifla. Says the Chassam Sofer that you see from here that people sometimes make a mistake. He says there are people that they're davening for a Yeshua, whatever the Yeshua might be, and then they get a little bit of a Yeshua. And sometimes when a little bit of a Yeshua comes, they take their eye off the ball. Because they think, look at this, the Yeshua is coming, Baruch Hashem, everything is heading in a good direction. I don't have to fast anymore. I don't have to daven anymore. I don't have to learn so stark anymore. He said, what did Mordechai do? Mordechai went back immediately to Sakir Tanisoy. And the Chassam Sofer says, if you think about it, somebody else in that position might have said, perfect, everything is turning now. I have to go back to where I was. Baruch Hashem, let me make a Birchas Hodah. This is to the contrary, clearly everything is changing. But the Chassam Sofer says not always the way it is. And one of the lessons that we learn from Mordechai is that even though he had this unbelievable Yeshua, Mikan Shetzorich Adam Linoy, Im Yechas Vesholim Betzorah, Vachakach Nitzel Ktsas Mimenu, Afal Pikain, Loyoniach Melehispalo, Eloyasik Barishoino. He should continue davening the way he was davening the whole time. Virayu Mi Mordechai. Fascinating. Short comment. But that's what the Chassam Sofer says.